Yep, so I'm gonna get the temperature here. We have a very humid day today.
Yes. So it is 1340. Mm-hmm. What was the temperature? Negative 20 of it.
It is minus 25.4.
Initial.
Oh, yeah. Time and initial.
Yeah, it's 13.
All right. Then you want me to read them off as I put them in?
Yes.
Let's move this cart over here. All right. So, Ruth.
Yes.
Those must be the fresh ones.
Yes. Just that one.
All right, Big Stone.
12.
Yep.
That one's
Bob.
12.
Silver.
Should be five.
Five, yes.
I swear. And that's all of them.
All right, that's it. Okay. All right, so then we'll go down the hall. If you want to do stations here, is the fan okay with that? Is there a lot of interference?
If we could turn it off, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what happened today, but the humidity in the building is crazy. Yeah, I've got the mic so I can talk if that helps.
Yeah.
So once we receive the fish, we grind them using a KitchenAid mixer. So this is our homogenization process. And the reason we do this is to make sure that when we take a small sample of fish to do the mercury analysis, we're getting a uniform portion of the sample. When we do the actual mercury analysis, it's about 0.2 grams of tissue that we weigh out for the analysis, so it's a very small part of the sample. And so we want to make sure that it's just representative of the entire fillet that we have. We put the fish through the grinder three times. The first time we catch the first little bit that comes out and throw that away because we want to make sure we do a very good job cleaning everything, but we want to make sure if there was any fish that was hung up in that grinder that we're throwing away that first portion when it comes out. So send it through the first time. It comes out of the grinder. It gets homogenized in the bowl. Then we send it through two more times.
Okay.
sample come from?
The sample is from, this is from Lake Superior. We have a mixture of fish that were caught for a fall project that they did. So this is actually a Cisco that was caught in Lake Superior near Red Cliff. Many of the fish that we do are walleye. The largest portion of what we do are walleye. And so every summer we get between about 400 and 450 walleye that we homogenize each one individually and then analyze those for mercury. The walleye that we do are from inland lakes in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. The fall samples that we get are all samples that are from Lake Superior, and there are a variety of species that we do.
Does the species difference make a difference in the amount of mercury based on the food chain?
Yes, exactly. So if we're doing something that's eating organisms that are lower on the food chain, they're going to have less mercury. So for example, whitefish have lower mercury levels than a lake trout. Walleye are the ones that have a lot of higher concentrations of mercury overall, I would say. So then we take, after the third time it goes through and it's mixed within the bowl, then we fill one of these vials. They hold about 20 grams of fish, and we seal it up and we put them all in a container, and then they're frozen. Once we get about 30 to 40 fish, then we're ready to do the analysis. So how many fish would you say you can process in a day?
30 on a good day.
About 30 in a day. So we generally do a lot of this up front, and then later on we kind of come back in and start doing more of the analysis. So then a really important part of this, the part that's probably our least favorite. I've ground thousands of fish on this project, but the dishwashing is the very most important part, because if you're not getting the dishes clean, then the fish analysis that we do later on could have contamination in it from an earlier fish. And we really rely on the students that we have here at UWS to help us make sure they're doing a good job. We also do a lot of quality assurance on the project. So when we're doing grinding the fish, probably every 100 samples, we do a tuna sample. That's called a procedural blank. So we take just a portion of the tuna sample out of the container, drain the water out of the container, take a portion of the sample and just put it directly into a container, and then we would process the tuna just as we have with the walleye. And once we've done that, we put that into a vial, and then we analyze those as a before grinding and after grinding to make sure that we're not adding any mercury or losing any mercury in the process. So that's a good check to make sure that we are keeping things clean as we're processing the fish. So the washing process is just washing the sample with a laboratory cleaning solution called Liquinox. We rinse things off to make sure we don't get a lot of the tissue going down the drain and clogging things up. But yeah, washing the things, and then we soak them in a dilute acid solution for a minute. That also helps to remove any residual metals that we would have that would be in the sample analysis portion. And then they get rinsed really well with distilled water. And then that distilled water just gets rid of any extra residual soap, acid, and then we put the thing back together and repeat the process.
Mm-hmm. Over and over and over.
It's, you know, I kind of miss these days grinding, because it can be mindless. You can listen to a podcast, you can listen to music. If you're in here with someone you enjoy working with, lots of visiting. So it's really not that bad. Some days I miss it.
What if you're with someone you don't enjoy working?
Well, then it's less fun. Then you put on a podcast.
Is that why Ethan plays podcasts in the car with
Could
people?
Be. He just really likes to learn or have, right. you know, have yeah. fun. Needs a little comedy in his life.
So this grad student or
regular student? We don't have any. Graduate students here at UWS in science. We do have. There's education. Does have some, and I think maybe counseling, but not biology.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is Jaden's first year here with us. She's only actually been doing this for maybe the last month. But we're very glad. We're always very glad for our students. It's a great opportunity to get some experience in the sciences. And ideally, not only is she in here grinding and washing dishes, she'll get to see the entire process. A lot of students use this as a capstone experience or an undergraduate research project where they can then, everyone here has to do a senior project presentation, and so a lot of students use the Glyphwick research that we've done to present. So it's kind of nice because it gets that information out there as well.
Mm-hmm. So what do the yellow and blue mean?
We just have, each lake gets a color. And it's not specific to the lake each year. It's just so that we can kind of, at a glance, in the boxes that we have, they hold 72 vials. I kind of like this. So we just, the lake identification and then the sample identification for the fish. And then on the caps, we have a code that we have come up with. Generally, it's a three-letter code. And because we've done, because Glyphwick samples the lakes kind of on a cycle, we've done many of these lakes many times, and so we have the same sample code year after year. So that's kind of a nice way for us to just look at all those freezers that we have if we need to find a fish and be able to pull fish from a particular lake.
Do you have samples from Lake Namakagan? Is that one that they pull from? I know they do surveys there, but I wasn't sure.
Right. I would have to look. I'm not remembering right off the top of my head.
Yeah, sure. Certainly not a big deal, but
yeah.
Sure,
I don't know. I'm not really sure. So,
Do you know, are they having any samples from Namakagan?
We might. I can check.
Yeah, we can check. We have the code breakdown, so it'd be a quick check.
She would have the samples.
Yeah.
I can check the numbers. That was the one we passed on the way here on the list, right?
No.
Namakagan. It's by cable. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So are we back in?
We're going to go into this. Sometimes people do odd things up there.
You probably saw Ethan playing football years ago. He's our proud alum.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
2017,
that's awesome. Yeah. 2017? All my classes weren't holding them.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Never had class in here.
You missed your chance to train fish.
But you would have, yeah, you missed your chance. How did you get out of having you either had to take environmental class?
Yeah, I did. I went to community college at UW Baraboo.
Okay.
So kind of got all this taken care of and came up here for 2 years.
Nice.
For my degree. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a new mercury analyzer this year we're very excited about. It's this DMA-80, so it stands for Direct Mercury Analyzer. The thing we are excited about with this analyzer is that, as it says, it's a direct mercury analyzer. So in the past, when we were doing mercury analysis, we would have to digest the samples with concentrated hot acids, and that was dangerous and not really great for the environment. But in order to get from the fish sample to having the mercury released in a form that the instrument was able to measure it, that's what we had to do previously. But this new instrument actually does thermal decomposition of the fish tissue. So basically what it does is just heats the fish up really hot over a short period of time. It takes about 6 minutes to get a mercury concentration from a fish using this instrument. And so, yeah, we put a sample into a sample boat. I'll demonstrate that. We push start, and it gives us a concentration after 6 minutes. Again, we do have a lot of quality assurance that goes in prior to that. So we make up standards of known concentrations of mercury. We do duplicate analysis of fish to make sure that we're getting the same concentration from the same fish if we repeat it. We do spike concentrations. We spike samples with a known amount of mercury, so we can subtract that known amount of mercury and make sure that, again, we're recovering all of the mercury through the process. And then one of the other important things that we do is we have a certified reference standard that we run multiple times a day with each one of the fish samples, or each one of the groups of fish samples that we do. So if we do 30 samples in a day, we would do our certified reference material probably 3 times. And the material that we use is called a dorm sample. It is from Canada, and it's actually dogfish liver tissue. So it is a fish tissue, so it's similar tissue type to what we're analyzing. So it's important that we're using matrices that are similar in type. So I'll go ahead and show you the analysis that we do. So the first thing that we do is we weigh out a sample. So in the other lab, we saw the sample being ground and put into these vials. So I took these out earlier. Again, when we did the acid rinse in the lab across the hall, we do that here in between samples to make sure that we're not carrying over any mercury. So we just have a little bit of acid there that I was soaking in. I already put the boat here, and then I need to turn the balance on. Kind of mix this up to make sure that if there was any moisture in the vial, it's mixed back in with the fish. And then we weigh out approximately 0.2 grams of fish. Trickiest part is getting it into the boat and not everywhere else. I'm going to stop right there. It's 0.187 grams. Then we record the weight. We go over here. There is a previous sample that I did in there. That's the dorm sample to make sure that we were getting the concentrations that we wanted this morning. So the sample's in there. Then I have to enter the mass and the identification here on the screen of the sample. So I already did the identification code, but the amount that I weighed out, I need to enter here. So it's 0.187 grams. And then a check mark. Oh, well, let's try that again. Okay, so 0.187 grams, check mark. And then I just go ahead and press this green light. When I press this arrow, what will happen is this carousel will rotate, and there's a arm here that will pick up the sample and it will push it into the furnace. Then we can't see anything beyond that, but we'll see on the screen as it measures. So I'm going to push start. So it does that quick turn, picks up the sample and puts it into the sample combustion chamber. The light here changes so that we know that it's in the process of doing an analysis, and while it's doing the analysis, that will be red. And then what we can do is we can click on here to watch the signal. So what's happening is there's a spectrophotometer that's built into this instrument, and it's able to measure the mercury absorption. The amount of mercury that is absorbed is relative to how much is there. So that's why we do a standard curve, so we can determine a known amount will have this absorption, so we can make a line out of it. A calibration curve is what we would call it. And then when we run a sample and get an absorption, we can just calculate what concentration is in the sample. So you can see that on the screen, it's showing we have an absorption that's coming off from that particular sample. This instrument has three different cells built into it. So what it will do is it will analyze the concentration in each one of the cells individually, and it will give us a result based on where the best fit is for the line within which one of those cells. So it takes about 6 minutes to get an analysis here, but that's what the process is.
And so you can see the graph.
Yep, you can see the graph. It'll be a little bit easier once we're completely done. I can show you, so that's the sample coming off. We can come back to here. But this is the calibration curve. So here we had, going across the bottom here, it says mercury nanograms. So we know how much mercury we had in our standards. And then this is the absorption here on the y-axis. And so it's graphing the concentration versus the absorbance, and it's because we're looking at a broad difference of concentrations here, it's actually an S-shaped curve. If you look at a smaller range of concentrations, you'd have more of a linear curve. And so what will happen is we'll get an absorption based on our sample there, and using this curve, we're able to calculate the concentration. So that's the calibration curve, but if we go back to measure, this is the sample right now that's being analyzed.
So is it, for you, can you look at that and go, ooh, that's normal, that's high, that's low, that's...
Not now, because...
Not yet,
because we have, because it has the three cells, and it hasn't done all three of them yet, so it's a little bit hard at this particular point. But once it's done running, I can say, oh yeah, it'll give us the concentration.
Well, if we have a few more minutes, then Ethan will probably just get some close shots.
Just we're lucky we had, we have a process where when we do every sample we analyze, we charge ourselves basically for using it, so it's coming hard to get grant funding for new instruments. So we have to kind of, because we've been at this for so many years, we know we have to set aside money as we're going ahead. This is, I've been here since 1997 working on it. This is the fourth instrument I've used. So yeah, we've had to replace three in the time that I've been here. And that can analyze a variety of different metals. We've used that on projects with Glyphwick. We've done things where they had a project a couple years ago that was, we called it the Thanksgiving Project. And that one, they were looking at, so it's done now.
That's quick.
It is, it's quick.
It's so quick.
It's so quick. And then look, so you saw what the tissue looked like prior to, when I put it into the sample boat. Now that you're looking at it, it's just ash that's left in there. So it's a nice procedure too, because we don't have a lot, we're not creating hazardous waste.
And where does the mercury go then?
The mercury that was there is, there's a trap that's on the back of this instrument. It's a carbon trap, so it just catches the mercury vapor that's in there. That has to be replaced probably every year based on how often we use the instrument. But it's just, it's a small, about this quantity of carbon, activated charcoal basically. And so that is a hazardous waste, but prior, when we had the other instrument, we were creating significantly more than that because we had to add so many chemicals to do the digestion, so.
Okay, so now we can look at the
graph. So now you can look at the graph, and you can see what this is, the way that you look at this is, it's looking at the peak height of the curves, and so, this is, because there's the two cells, it's got two different peaks. And actually there's a third one down here. And so this was like one of the cells, a second cell, and the third cell. So what it does is it just chooses the one that's the best fit. So if we go back to the result, right here on the screen, it says that sample was 351 micrograms per kilogram of mercury, which usually we would report it in milligrams per kilogram. So it would be like 0.351 milligrams per kilogram. So I would say that's relatively low. I don't know what the cutoff is now for, it used to be one, but I think they've lowered it for consumption advisories.
So this is a little more than a third of, compared to a consumption advisory.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I would say this is a pretty healthy fish to eat.
Yeah. So are you able to differentiate the types of mercury you're looking at?
No. No, so this is a total mercury analyzer. Okay. So when you talk about mercury, certainly the methyl mercury is the part that's the worst mercury, because it's the most bioavailable and most able to cross the cell membranes and things like that. So that's the more dangerous form, but most of the mercury that's present in fish is present as methyl mercury. So, but this is a total mercury. If there was something there that was not methylated, we would still catch it.
Okay, cool. Can we have you do up another?
Absolutely.
So we'll probably park Ethan right over here. Is that where you want to be? Does that make sense?
For what?
To see her load up another one. And then before you put it over here, Ethan will probably reposition just so we can see it going.
Yep.
And then all the wheels spinning.
I need. So again, we just mix it up to make sure that it's homogeneous in there, and if there's any moisture at the bottom, we're mixing it kind of back in. That one is 0.268. We'll record that. Okay. Then did you want a reposition? Okay.
Okay.
Which slot are you putting it in?
Three. Yep.
Perfect. Yep.
Okay. So then we put the sample into slot three. And over here, we need... So
this wheel's going to spin and then the little...
Pushes into the front. Yep.
So I already typed in the sample identification here. Then we have to enter the mass. Accept it. So now we have the sample identification and the sample weight, and we identify that we're doing this as a normal measurement, and then we press go. Thank you. This screen is showing what temperatures are that is actually happening in the different cells there. So it goes up to, the last one goes up to 750 degrees Celsius. So that's how, yeah, that's how it combusts the sample. It does that thermal decomposition to get the mercury in the state that we need to measure it in.
Well, it loses its flavor at that point.
Yeah.
Shows how much time is left.
Yes. Yep. So this is the total time here, and that's where we're at. Oh, yep. Okay. So that one was very similar in concentration. This one is, the first one we did was 351 micrograms per kilogram. The second one we did was 359 micrograms per kilogram. They're both from the same lake, but the second one, yeah, they're both from the same lake. It would be interesting to go and look at the lengths to see, yep, how close in size they were. But oftentimes from the same lake there.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about, the water quality. The fish are water quality.
To capture super close-ups of, like, her putting the sample in the tray and the stuff.
I could, if you think that's important.
I think it'd be kind of fun sequencing.
Sure.
It'd be fun quick shots.
Yeah, like some kind of telephoto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could try that. It's just space. I'd have to be, like, if you wouldn't mind, like, turning towards me.
Sure.
That's all right.
Yep. Just to make sure across the board we're getting all.
I do have a tissue course coming for you this Friday.
Oh, okay.
Musky, I want to say.
Oh, great.
So,
okay.
Do you want to try on that?
Sometimes, yeah. That might be high, too. That's good.
So for this, I think if you can just kind of point out to Ethan where you're going to go next to allow him to focus, because
yep.
It's harder to get a depth of field on this.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to take a boat from here.
Yep.
Put it on there.
Huh?
Yep, and then I'll do the mix. I'll take that. Here, we can move this out of the way. Is that better?
Sure.
We would like that not there, too. Okay.
Sounds good. Yeah, do your thing.
All right. Let's grab it by the tab. Tear it. So we zero it out, and then I'm going to grab this vial.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay, and then I'll grab this.
Okay.
And I need to rinse it over there, but I can move this again. Grab a chem wipe, but no, keep that there. Then I'm gonna mix the sample up with in the vial here. Is that good there? And then I'll take a little bit of this and put it in the boat. Right. And then that's it. It'll go back over there then.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, whenever you're ready. Would it be possible to do that again?
Yeah, less shaky this time.
No, I'm too much of a telephoto lens. Okay, just lift it up a little higher if you don't mind, and then whenever you're ready, go ahead and put it in.
Okay.
Yep. Perfect. And we close the class thing. Perfect.
Okay.
I was shaky too.
All right, and then when I press the green button, it will go ahead.
Whenever you're ready.
All right.
No, it should be okay.
Okay.
Perfect, yeah.
Helps so much having this screen so I see what you can see.
Yeah.
So then I can know, oh, that's exactly what we're looking for.
Perfect.
Great. It's really a pretty impressive body of work that we've been able to keep all that. And we were talking. Oh, I gotta wash my hands. They just smell like gloves now. Wow, if you're doing the political stuff, you're very busy.
Yeah.
Yes, except the biggest difference is you can almost, some of those we ended up having to, we tried analyzing them here, but there was a lot of background noise. We couldn't.
Of metal you're looking at?
Like, I think stuff that was in the organics when we did, you know, because that's also a digestion with concentrated acids, and then you have to break it down with us because we wanted to give you good results, but we just couldn't get them with that, unfortunately.
Okay. I'll get up your wings.
All right.
Sorry, just one second.
I guess you want to show and tell?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do we have in here?
Right, we have years worth of fish samples in here that we've gotten from Glyphwick. And you can see we have some from 2013, 2011. We have a variety of both. This one is whitefish, lake trout. We have a lot of spring walleye samples. By far the most what we do is spring walleye. So we get between 350 and 450 spring walleye samples annually from Glyphwick. And we've been analyzing those for mercury. And every year when we are done analyzing them, we store them in these freezers. So we archive the samples in case anyone would like to analyze them for something later on, or in case we have to go back and answer other questions about mercury. So we have four freezers that are full of mercury samples dating back to 1996. So it's been a really good archive so that people can go back and look at potential metals other metals or other chemicals that become of interest that we didn't know were a problem and now we're learning are more problematic, such as potentially PFAS.
Yeah, it seems to be the most obvious one.
Right.
It does seem like that's an invitation to figure out, okay, when did it first start appearing in fish?
It is. One thing we have to be a little bit careful about with the archive samples is the processing that we used you know, from the filleting to the grinding to the sample containers themselves, is it compatible with PFAS analysis? Because we don't want to be a part of the problem in the analysis of that. So, but it is a potential source. We've had people go back and look at PCBs and other different things that are in those samples. So,
broaden this out for me. Obviously, you're the Lakesbury Research Institute. What is it that it does? I mean, you're part of this relationship with Glyphwick, but you've given me the broader picture in the context of walleye is what we're interested in, but a lot of the research that goes into it.
Right. So the Lakesbury Research Institute has been here. We do grant-funded research, and we've had a relationship with Glyphwick since the middle of the 1990s. So we receive samples from them, we do the mercury analysis on them, and then we give the analysis, the concentrations of mercury back to Glyphwick, and then they use that information to make maps where they do consumption advisories of lakes that are in the ceded territories. And they do it on a basis of a couple of different things. They do the women of childbearing age and young children, and then they have the adults that are beyond childbearing age and males, because mercury is a neurotoxin, and so it's more of a concern in younger children and women of childbearing age than it is in adult males or women beyond childbearing age.
So you're one of the first ones to see the info come out. Have there been times where you're like, whoa?
There are some times I see a fish that I go, oh, well, I would not want to eat fish from that lake. And there are certain lakes that are certainly higher in concentration in mercury than other lakes. It has a lot to do with the ecology of the just what's around certain lakes, what kind of, if they have a lot of swampy areas around them, or if they have a lot of rock, more like granite or basalt around them, that's going to have an impact on how much mercury is present in the fish.
So you said that one was kind of the baseline for when you start to worry? I guess walk me through, because those were like the 0.35 stage.
Right, the fish that we looked at today, they were in about the 0.3 milligrams per kilogram of fish that we were looking at. Those, I would say, are not a high concern. Again, it depends on your age the frequency that you're eating the fish, certainly. Yeah, my general rule after having done this for many years is that I try not to eat any walleye that are over 20 inches. That seems to be kind of a good cutoff. It's not safe in every lake to eat fish that are in that size range, but that's generally, I would say, a pretty safe area.
Okay. So what is the one break threshold, or where's the point where you said, oh, that's a lake that no one should be eating this?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure right now what the concentration is where we're calling. You know, things have changed over the years. So one used to be kind of the mark that we would use as like people probably shouldn't be eating any fish that are in that concentration. So I would say that's certainly would not be eating it, but because most people don't know just what. If they take a fish out of a lake, they're not going to know what concentration that is. So,
I was going to ask you to look up the last year we sampled the.
We're gonna come in on a Monday and vomit. And then who gets that job? So yeah, these have alarms. We're real excited about them. Yeah, we lost some of that one. That was last year, I think. Maybe.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Let's put this back in there. Close it before it starts chirping at us. Beautiful. It's been updated a lot. Looks really nice.
Yeah, the person that she came, she fixed it, she put her 2 weeks in. Okay. Ready when you guys are.
Okay. So, I guess. The story is about walleye. Why, in your estimation, why is walleye one of the key ones to pay attention to for these kind of issues?
Well, I think it's important because it's such, especially for the tribes, it's such a important food culturally to them, and it's just a part of many of their ceremonies and their culture, and it's important to make sure that we're keeping their population safe and looking at how much mercury is present in those, and then making these consumption advisories so that people are informed about what is a safe lake to fish in, how many fish meals they can eat from there a month, basically, and make sure that they're keeping their families safe.
So when you're doing this work, I mean, this is probably just one portion of like the job you do here,
yep.
But I mean, you talked about you came here the year after this started.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you to be part of such a long longitudinal study?
Right, it's amazing to have just the breadth of this and the depth of this study because we've been able to work on this for years. And I've learned a lot of things as a scientist. I started here just out of graduate school. I ground a lot of fish, and now I'm managing the project. So I was able to see that through. I've been able to work with Glyphwick individuals, several different individuals there, on writing quality advisories and looking at what's important when we're doing the analysis to make sure that we're answering the questions that are important to them and doing really good quality work so we have the quality checks built in, like duplicates and standards and reference checks. So it's important to us. It's great to be able to give that information to people. And I think we just have a really good relationship with Glyphwick and to be able to provide that to them. And it's an interesting topic too. Like, everybody's excited about fishing and everybody loves catching a walleye. So it's good information to be part of all of that together. So.
Okay. Anything else that you can think of that you want to add with what we've been talking about?
Where do you see the trends going?
Yeah, I was worried you were going to ask that. Part of the problem is that because it's a partnership, one of the things that we do is we analyze the fish and we write the report and we hand it off to Glyphwick, and then you guys make the maps, but I don't have a clear picture of, you know, what have been the trends over 30 years. We should be able to look at that. I think that there were rules enacted to kind of keep mercury emissions lower, and I think that did help mercury concentrations in fish. I think that I'm not sure that we're seeing that as much anymore. I think that we saw things kind of drop off with mercury concentrations in fish, and now they've plateaued and maybe jumped up a little bit, but I don't know why that is. I think there's a lot of things that can contribute to that. So that would be it would be really nice, you know, if we could take a look at the data over those years, because we have lakes that we've looked at on 5-year and 3-year cycles. So I think we do have the information that we would be able to, you know, look at data and write a really good paper on what are the mercury trends in the ceded territories in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan. So yeah, I think that's really important.
Long term, over the next 10 to 20 years, is mercury still a bigger concern than PFAS?
That's a good question. I think that we know what the effects of having too much mercury in your body are. So I think that that's that's not going away at all. I think right now PFAS is a little bit of an unknown as far as what are the effects on people. And so I think that that research needs to be done to determine the effects. And it's PFAS analysis is very complicated. And so I think there needs to be efforts made in that front to make sure we're doing good analysis. And hopefully 30 years down the road, they've got something like this that they can look back on and say, you know, we've got really good, solid results that we're confident in the quality of those results.
Okay. Can I get you to say and spell your name and give your title?
Oh, yes. This is going to take a while. My name's really long. Christine Polkinghorn, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. The last name is Polkinghorn, P-O-L-K-I-N-G-H-O-R-N-E. And my title is Research Program Manager at the Lake Superior Research Institute.
And is that technically at UW-Superior?
Yes. It's at the Lake Superior Research Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Superior.
Okay, great.
Yep.
I'd like to have the...
Yes, and technically I think it's University of Wisconsin-Superior, Lake Superior Research Institute.
Gotcha.
I think UWS is supposed to come first.
Oh, cool.
1922.
No.
Wow, those records go far.
Yeah. 2022.
Cool.
Now I just gotta find the NKG is the code.
Maybe you can put that one back.
Okay.
Maybe grab another one. Okay, you can put that back too. I'll just get a closer shot of it.
Okay.
So that's 9 fish from that lake that year.
Looks like it.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yes, and Minnesota just created a new model that might can reduce the sample size down to 6.
Really?
Yeah, since we have so much historical data,
nice.
They're able to predict using that historical data,
mm-hmm.
and where we may be able to cut it down to 6.
Okay.
So, which, then I can double the price for fish.
Yep.
Hey, Karen, we found it. Thanks. All right, have a good day.
So that's why we want to go box by box.
I know, yeah.
It would have been the absolute end.
Karen's doing something completely different now, huh?
She switched to hydrologist.
Wow.
For travel.
Yeah.
That she can jump into.
Yeah. Did she have training in that, too?
I mean, she got her degree in that.
So. Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Good.
Cover.
Sure.
There's the, they actually labeled the link on the cover.
Okay, perfect. It's followed by the FL.
Not on there, but yeah. Most likely.
Okay. Yeah.
inspiration to write more neatly on the covers.
That's my writing. I can't blame anybody but myself.
I mean, you should have saw my big writing today.
But we recognize the name.
Exactly.
So you pulled it out. I
always keep a gel.
Good enough.
My handwriting is childish on the big.
Okay, so I signed that. Is it already out in the car?
It's already out in the car.
Do you want to scan it and send it to me? So that I have a copy. We should have a copy of that,
yes.
Too. Sorry, I forgot to.
That's no problem.
Yeah, if you can send that, that'd be great. And Karen sent the...
Yes.
Yep.
I test her with that.
Yep.
That should be the label stuff.
Yep, okay. It was.
All right.
Yep.
So whenever I get back to work, I just need to scan, email,
I'm not worried about destroying a copy.
That's true, because it's going to be on the clipboard. It's going to stay on the clipboard.
Okay.
Sorry.
And honestly, like, I don't know if it would be something like, but if it's not Friday,
I want it to be done.
Okay.
I want it to be done.
Okay.
Because I got like political work I have to do now.
Okay.
I got like that was GRI.
Just, okay.
I'm
cool.
I think that's probably good, right?
Yeah. That's
awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I feel bad it's not going to get more time for the thing for the amount of work.
That's quite all right. No problem.
It's one of those little elements.
1 second. Could you start?
Start from the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
1 second. Okay, whenever you're ready.
Yahara 2070 doc, I had him create a graphic for me that showed like the water cycle.
I was kind of thinking that, you know, we did.
So it's like, phew. Doing that so long, a hipster on corn syrup. That's nuts.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Wally from Lake Superior.
Wow.
You get up to, you know, above 20 inches and it really spikes. That's
That's
more than what's quadruple what they were saying was
right.
What they would feel comfortable eating.
Oh, I know. It's above 20.
Don't eat it. It's like to Canada. That's all we eat.
Yeah. Well, lucky enough, we got like
barely catch little.
Teams. Yeah, right.
It's like the lake we were in was so freaking hot. Everything's 23 and 24 and 24 and 25.
Which is fun catch, because we don't want to.
But we were frustrated because we could only keep one over 20.
You've been there twice, never happened before. Mid-interview, it said it was at like, you know, 35%, which is a good amount of time. And then it just cut the blast. The reason I think it does that maybe is that maybe the numbers a little confusing is because this is powering everything. It's powering this, powering the camera. So maybe it sucks more energy, I don't know. Apparently that's the nice feature about this, but